In the bad times long ago, there was a man living in Arran, a poor fisherman named Colleen O'Farta. He lived with his wife, Maya, in a place called Ballinamoth, and indeed, it was well named because they were all poor in that place. They lived in a house which could hardly be called a house because there was no mortar in the walls, no glass in the windows, and the thatch was of seaweed. Indeed, there was many a drop down in that house in the cold winter nights. Even the seals in the sea had better lodgings than those people, God help us. But, for all of that, Colleen O'Farta was a happy enough man. He had only one line, one hook, and every day he went down to the seashore to a place called Paula Farthan, near Lochachara, and he threw in his hook, and he was happy to while away his day there in peace and quiet. But, if he was content and satisfied, his wife wasn't. Maya, she was always complaining. We'll starve in this place. Wouldn't we be better off in America? Why are we staying here at all? That's the time he would go fishing, I tell you. But one day, Colleen was down at Paula Farthan, and he threw in his line as usual and waited. Next thing, down it went. Oh, on the Mandeel, say, I have something. And he pulled it in hand over hand, thinking it might be something big. But it wasn't. It was the tide pulling it that made it seem heavy, but at the end of the line was a little trout, maybe 6 inches long, and Colleen looked at it as it dangled there, and he says, that wouldn't make much soup. And he went on with himself debating whether he should let it back into the water or keep it. But then, a thing that never before happened, the small fish spoke. Colleen, Colleen, it said, what good am I to you? Let me go, let me go. Well, he would have released it, through fright alone, if nothing else, and his fingers fumbled and fumbled with the hook, and he dropped it into the water as quick as he could. Well, the fish disappeared, and Colleen was stunned, of course. It took him a while before he could fish again, but fish he did. Habit is a very strong thing among fishermen, but as long as he stayed at it, he caught nothing else. And at last he said, oh, how will I face Maya? But then he thought, haven't I a story to tell her anyway, if nothing else? He went home hopeful, but when she saw him, she said, you useless idiot, are we going to go hungry again today? Please, 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 Maya, don't give out to me, he says. I have something good to tell you. What is it? What is it? A story. A story? We can't eat stories, says she. But what kind of a story is it? I caught a fish today, Maya. Didn't he talk to me? You're telling me lies, dirty lies, to hear that. No, 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 wait till I tell you, wait till I tell you. And he told her the whole story about the small fish. And she was looking at him all the while with her eyes narrowed. And at last she said, do you mean to tell me that you let that fish back into the water without asking for any reward? You'll go back to that place, Paula Farthan, in the morning and ask for something. Look at us, inside here in misery and the weather coming in on top of us. Ask for a big house, a fine mansion while you're at it, with a big garden and walls to keep out the buckthorns and their old hens and ducks and geese around this place.
I don't like to do that, says Colleen.
You'll do it, or else you'll get the edge of my tongue, by all.
Well, he knew what the edge of her tongue was like, so the following morning he went back to the sea, and the water was calm, and the sky was blue, and he walked to the shore, and he said,
little fish, little fish.
At once the fish surfaced and said, yes, what's your wish?
No, tisn't my wish, says Colleen. Tis my wife's. She says she's sick and tired of living in misery, and she wants a new house, with a big wall around it to keep out the rest of the poor people in this place.
Go home. She has it, said the little fish, and disappeared.
Well, Colleen went home, but when he came to where his cottage should have been, there was no cottage there, only a mansion, with windows and windows stretching out on each side, and a big gate, and two servants in their uniform standing outside the gate. Oh, he went up, and he's scratching his head, and his mouth hanging open. And at the gate, the servant said, hold on, you. Go away. No beggar men allowed here.
But, says Colleen. And at that minute, his wife, in all her finery, came down the avenue.
Men, you can let him in, says she.
And they did so, and he went into the hallway and looked at the marble floors, at the pictures on the walls, and at all the doors. He was flabbergasted. And that night,
he was nearly smothering inside in a big feather bed when his wife said, "Now look, isn't comfort a great thing? But we could do better than this. Many's the time I remember being in Galway, and the people there, they'd sweep me off of the street like I was dirt. You'll go back to Paula Fortan in the morning, and you'll ask your little fishy friend for to be lord of that town. Wouldn't you like to own Galway City, and to have all the people of it bowing down to you? You could be Lord Clanrickard, and I'll be the Duchess." "I will not," says he, "no chance in the wide world." "You will," says he, "and what's more, you'll like it." Well, he had to go, and the following morning he went, and the sea was grey now, and he felt the coldness in the air, but he went down to the shore at Paula Fortan, and he said, "Little fish, little fish." The fish surfaced and said, "What do you want?" "'Tisn't me now that wants anything, fish, but my wife, she's not satisfied with what she has. She'd like to be Lady Clanrickard, and to make me Lord Clanrickard. I don't want it for myself, says he, but...
"Go back, she has her wish."
And the fish disappeared without another word. Back went Colleen, and the wind ruffling his hair now, and when he came to his house, he looked for his wife. But the servants told him, "Oh, she's not here, your lordship. She's gone to Galway. You'll find her there. Do you want to take the yacht now?" And here he was, with his own private yacht, the man who hadn't even a curragh before this. Well, he went to Galway, and all the people there were bowing down to him. "Your lordship, welcome, welcome." Up through the streets of Galway he went, to the big house where his wife was, and she welcomed him in her silks and satins, and he was amazed at his change of fortune, and for 3 days he wouldn't even come out in the street, he was so embarrassed to have people bowing down to him, Colleen O'Farta, when 'twas he used to be bowing down to others all his life. Well, one night, though, they were in bed, and Maya said, "Look, we're awful fools to be worried about a small village of a place like a Galway. Wouldn't you like to be the King of Ireland, and I could be the Queen?" "Huh, says Colleen, "I can hardly manage what I have. Lay me alone, will you?" "I will not," says she. And she didn't. For days and weeks she picked at him and picked at him, until in the end he gave in, or he'd have gone out of his wits. "All right, Sissy, all right, I'll go back to Paula Fortan, only don't torment me no more, will you?" So he took ship from Galway, out to the place in Arran, but on the journey the waves were huge, and by the time he came to Paula Fortan, he was drenched, and his clothes were stuck to him. He could hardly hear himself, with the wind howling, and with the waves up to his knees on the shore. He called, "Little fish, little fish!" And up came the fish. "What do you want?"
"I want nothing," says Colleen. "Nothing. 'Tis my wife. She wants everything. I'm plagued and plagued from her."
"What does she want?" says the fish.
"She wants to be the Queen of Ireland, and she wants me to be the king."
"Go back. She has it."
Well, Colleen did go back, and the wind blowing him along so that he could hardly keep on his feet. And at last he came to Galway. No trace of his wife. "Where's my wife?" says he. "She's above in Dublin, your majesty."
Majesty? Who? Me?"
"Yes, your majesty, you. We'll get your coach." And they did get his coach and drove him all the way to Dublin. And the people were out along the way on all the roads and they're bowing down to him. He couldn't get over it at all. And when he came to Dublin, 'twas the same thing. Crowds bowing and making much of him, looking for favours and other gifts. And he passed through it all. And when he came to where his wife was, he says,
"I don't know what to make of this at all. I'm addled and I'm bewildered."
"Oh, you'll get used to it very quick," says she. But whether he would have or not, she didn't give him time to. They were hardly in their fine palace in Dublin a week when she says to him, Tell me, Colleen, if you were the Pope..."
"No, if you were, I'm only saying if."
"But if you were the Pope, what name would you take for yourself?"
"What are you talking about, woman, Cecilia? Are you mad? Do you want this guy to fall down on us or what?"
I'm only asking. What name would you take if you were the Pope?" "Ah, I call myself Pope Colleen the First. What else?" "God knows, Cecilia, that's not a bad name at all. Look, go back to Polo for Dawn tomorrow and ask that fish of yours to be made Pope. And while you're at it, I'd like to be made a cardinal. And you can wear the white dress that way, and I'll wear the purple one. I will not let it. No chance, no chance in the world. I will not do it. No, no. And he stamped his foot, but 'twas no good. She kept at him for 3 solid months. And in the end, he was nearly gone insane out of his mind. So he says, all right, all right. I'll go in the morning, but leave me alone. And go he did, back to Arran. And if there was a storm on the sea on the previous journey, it was a hurricane now, breaking over the ship. He was a lucky man to be able to land on Arran at all. And when he got to the edge of the cliff, above the little strand at Powlefortharn, he was barely able to hang on by his nails, and the wind blowing him so strongly. And he yelled out, trying to be heard over the storm, "Little fish! Little fish!" And the fish rose to the surface of the foaming water and said, "What do you want?"
It isn't me at all, but my wife. She wants to be a cardinal and to have me the Pope." And he began to blubber and sniffle and cry. "I can hardly say it, 'tis so shocking," says Colleen.
And the fish said nothing, only this time, "Go home," and disappeared. Colleen made his way back. He could not get off the island that day because of the storm. So he says to himself, "I'll have to go back to the house here for shelter for the night." And he did go back, on his hands and on his knees, for the storm threatened to blow him away. And when he came to the place where their mansion had been, what he saw shocked him to his wit's end, for there stood their miserable little bohan of a cottage with the seaweed thatch, and the same thatch now being swept away bit by bit by the wind. And at the door was his wife Maya, in her rags and her hair scattered, and she weeping, weeping. He came up anyway as best he could, and he pushed in and passed her, and he says, "Will you come in, woman, or we'll be blown away as well as the house?" And they sat huddled in a corner of the kitchen, the wind whistling through every crack in the wall, freezing in their rags like they were before. "Are you satisfied now?" he asked. "Are you happy now?" And never a word did she answer. Well, I have it from reliable sources. People tell me, and people who should know, that in that place where Colleen and Maya were living as poor as church mice, they lived there until the day they died, with all the other poor people of Ballinamucht just as before. Oh, some people even say that Colleen was a far happier man when all he had was one line and one hook than ever he was when he was King of Ireland. But as for Maya, no one ever knew what she thought about it, about being back in her rags like before, because never a word crossed her lips about it until the day that she was laid in the grave.